Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just find a clear view of the sky and bring along your curiosity. September evenings can get pretty cool, so before heading out, grab a sweater or light jacket. Then settle onto a blanket, a folding chair, or reclining lounger, and lean back to take in the beauty of the star-spangled sky overhead. Seasonally speaking, September is a time of transition. Sunset comes earlier and earlier, by 7:30 most everywhere. And when it does, early in the month you'll see the moon hanging low in the southern half of the sky. This month's full moon, called the harvest moon, falls on the 15th. I want you to notice how low the moon looks in the sky through about September 10th. Stretch out your arm and clench your fist. You can see that the moon is no more than the width of two or three fists above the horizon. Yet, 6 months from now, the moon will arc nearly overhead at night. Why is that? The path followed by the sun and planets in the sky, an imaginary line called the ecliptic, starts where the sun sets and moves leftward across the sky. It turns out that during autumn, for us northerners, Earth is tipped in space in such a way that the ecliptic is at a shallow angle in the sky, staying relatively close to the horizon. And early this month, the moon happens to be positioned a few degrees below the ecliptic. That's why the moon is lurking so low in the south. In fact, if you have even modest trees or buildings in the way, the moon can be up in the sky, but hidden from your view. Before it gets too dark, find yourself a perch with a clear view toward the sunset point. Look a couple of fists to the left of where the sun sets, very low in the southwest, for a very obvious star. That's Venus, which is kicking off a terrific evening run that will last more than 6 months. If your horizon is really clear and the sky isn't too hazy, you might spot fleet-footed Mercury nearby. It's about the width of two fingers to the lower left of Venus. By the way, that bright star about three-fifths above Venus and the western horizon is called Arcturus. It's a big, fat, red giant star that's about 70 times the diameter of our sun. You won't have to squint to find Jupiter. Turn to the left and you'll easily spot the king of planets blazing brightly in the south. A couple of months ago, Jupiter was way over near the eastern horizon at sunset and just a touch brighter. But since then, Earth has slid well along in its orbit, which is causing Jupiter to appear a bit closer to the sun in the sky each week. Once twilight ends and it gets good and dark, it's time for some stargazing. Let's make our way upward from Jupiter along the celestial highway that runs above you. Lift your gaze up, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's relatively close as stars go, just 25 light years away. When the gleam you're seeing right now left Vega, Sally Ride had just become the first American woman to fly in space, aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger. My, how time flies. Slide your gaze past Vega, about 2.5 fists in the direction opposite Arcturus, to a second bright star called Deneb. Astronomers aren't sure of Deneb's exact distance. It's roughly 100 times farther away than Vega. But it's still quite the sparkler, isn't it? That's because Deneb is a real powerhouse of a star, pumping out at least 100,000 times more light than our sun does. Now, look for a third bright star, Altair, about 3 fists to the south of Vega, and 4 from Deneb. Week by week, this trio of easy-to-spot stars, known collectively as the Summer Triangle, is gradually migrating westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. After mid-September, the moon will be gone from the evening sky, and if you're lucky enough to live in a really dark location, far from city lights, you'll have no trouble seeing a delicately glowing river of light that we call the Milky Way, vaulting high across the sky. That's the combined light of countless stars in our galaxy's midsection. But chances are you're not so lucky. Sadly, light pollution has robbed most of us of the chance to see the Milky Way at all. But as it turns out, some of its richest concentrations of stars are in the vicinity of Deneb. Can you see a faint glow up there? If you're not sure, try again closer to midnight, when many lights have been shut off here on Earth, and Deneb itself is almost overhead. Let's finish our trek on the northeast side of the sky. Follow an imaginary line drawn from Altair through Deneb and beyond. Here the Milky Way descends down past the dim constellation of Cepheus, the legendary king of Ethiopia, to Cassiopeia, his mythical wife and queen. Cassiopeia is the much brighter and easy to find celestial landmark. Its five brightest stars form a squashed W that's pointing toward upper left. Like all the constellations on the eastern side of the sky, Cassiopeia rises higher during the night and during the coming weeks and months as well. Now, you probably know September as the month with an equinox, when summer officially gives way to fall, at least for those of us here in the Northern Hemisphere. This year, the autumnal equinox falls on September 22nd at 11:44 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And here's a tip. On either the spring or fall equinox, the sun rises due east and sets due west, no matter where you live. If you want more sky-watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend more time with Cassiopeia and find out why she's so vain. Until then, I wish you clear skies.